Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Thank you, personalist robot voice. We are back. It's In This League. Hour number two. Bogman the Welsh. Very glad to be with you. Bogman, did you see that FNTSY brought on Mr. Craig Mish? He is now part of their programming.
Nice. Yeah. I did not see that.
Yeah. Craig Mish, my only interaction. I've never been on any of his shows. He's never been on ours, which he should. Not that we don't want him. I'd like him on. But I was in the TGFBI with him last year. We were in the same league together.
Ah.
So maybe now that he's part of the team, he will be obtainable. He'll be in our league, if you will, Bogman.
Ah, yeah. We're on the same level. Well, we're going to be on that same follow Friday, right?
I hope so. If Jim Day has anything to do with it, then maybe we weren't on it. Maybe that's the problem. You know, I do want to get to the point, though. I think you have talked to all the podcasters out here, or the, you know, really talking to all the audience, because essentially everyone wants to have a podcast at some point, or a radio show, whatever. There are there's markers that I think you want to reach for. I think it's good to set goals, by the way, for anybody that, especially in this. I mean, it's a life type of thing, but, you know, in this type of business or whatever it is, even if it's hobby and slowly working up, you want to set goals that you can then hit and then move past to the next one. And we've hit a lot of them. You know, we've reached many, many goals and surpassed goals that we wanted. There's still a few, like, you know, having listeners and stuff like that. But
whenever someone talks about goals, I think of Vince Vaughn from Dodgeball. You remember his line about goals? He's like, well, I always understood it as if you had a goal, you might not reach it.
So why have goals at all?
I never have a goal. Yeah. And it feels phenomenal.
And he's not wrong. He's definitely not wrong. There's the pressure on it. But I mean, but that's how you motivate and you do better and whatnot. So we hit some of these things. We get to places. But one of the goals I want to get to, we're not there. We're not close to being there. I want to get to the place where it's not even a thing to think about having somebody on our show, where anyone is honored to come on our show. You know what I mean? Like Sleeper on the Bus. Everybody's a sport. People would be honored to go on there. If it's FNTSY, the Monday programming, or the other, you know, the station to not be named, those type of things. Like people are honored just to go on them.
I don't know that that's necessarily 100% true.
I'm not saying we don't have some of that. I know what you're getting at. Like there are people that are honored to come on our show.
That's not what I was going to say.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I was actually going to say that I think no matter how big you are, I think people are still going to be like, what time is it? Doesn't matter, right? I feel like there are some people like, you know, if Howard Stern asked them to be on, they'd be like, how early is it? You know,
yeah, but they still do it.
Yeah, I mean, they still do it, right?
Perfect example of this, Box, was okay. I was listening to Marin the other day, and Marin was talking about how he was, I don't know, New York or wherever he was, and what's his name? Doug Benson, or he's in Colorado, and Doug Benson hits him up and he says, hey, I'm in Colorado. Come do my show. And he's like, oh, how can I say no? And he's like, all right, I'll do it. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, you get to the place where you don't have to push. Like, we have people.
So we're Mark Maron in this, or we're Doug Benson?
No, we're the roach that Doug Benson puts in the ashtray is what we are right now. What I'm getting at, there's people at a website. Like, okay, take instance for this website that rhymes with Schmodo World. Okay. There are people in the football department, specifically the ones that you're thinking of.
Schmelva.
That they don't even bother responding. Like, we are scum. We're dirt. We're as good as 12 listeners of a podcast. We're this. Oh yeah. You get a podcast.
I also don't think that that's true. I don't think people look at this and go, pfft. I think that they look at it and they go, oh, let me think about it. And then they forget and they never respond, because I've done that.
Well, you're like half glass.
I'm full. Not. Stop calling me half glass full guy.
I've never just, called you that.
You are glass empty and then thrown against the wall guy. That's what you are. So I am usually glass half empty guy, but I'm just not going to blame people for not responding every single time.
Did I blame people?
People have lives.
I didn't blame them. I'm saying that they have no respect for us and we are dirt to them. We are no different.
That's not blaming them at all.
That's not blaming them at all. We're no different than the person that started a podcast for their fantasy league that has 12 listeners. That's what we are to them. Even though we have thousands and thousands, we've probably put together 1,000 podcasts. I mean, we put out books. We're on a radio station, all that type of stuff. Yet there are still people, you don't even have to know us, but there are people that do not have any respect for where we might be in any portion of an industry. And I'm not necessarily picking out all the names, but the whole point of this is to get to the point where it's just like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'd love to do the show. Like, I know about you guys. That would be cool. We're still not there. I don't know.
You
if
know
we'll
what
ever
my answer to that is?
What?
Sure.
Sure. Oh, what do you mean, Bogman? Are you saying sure? Yeah, I've heard of him.
The Welsh.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
It's just me venting. You know what? Like, I know I think I do this more over the last year, but this is just who I'm always going to just let you know how I feel. And that's how I feel. That's how I feel about things. Like, I feel like we've been in this industry enough, respected or not, whatever that is. I just want to be to the point where you go out, you reach out. It's like, you know, if we were a Monday through Friday show and like that type of thing. Hey, come on to the show. And people are like, oh yeah, I'll come on. Like, that's what I want. But we don't have that. We don't have cachet.
You need to reach out to a therapist. That's pretty angry.
Boy, I mean, 50 more Patreons and maybe I will. If I get back in the group me rooms, I might need it. So I don't disagree with you, Bogman. I don't disagree at all.
No, everyone can use it. So
yeah, specifically me though.
Yeah, you and me more than anyone. Maybe they can teach you to calm down and maybe I could kick some emotions on.
Yeah,
so,
well, people have to deal with it if they listen to us. Maybe that's all part of the problem. Maybe when I'm confrontational, that's part of the problem. Oh, well.
Be like, no. We don't get charged for people to listen to us. We charge them. I'm sorry. I'm not going to pay this bill.
Yeah, what are you talking about? So you said something interesting when we were going to break, and I just wanted to expand on that. You did.
Did I really say the glass is half full? Is that what I said?
Yeah. When you said stop calling me a glass half full guy, which I've never done in my life. No.
You just did it.
I did it once.
You just did it.
That was the moment I did
that
it.
That was the only time.
That was the only time I've ever done that.
Yeah. You also say that I put on rose-colored glasses when I'm talking about the Steelers and the Rockets, and I don't. I'm realistic.
True. No.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you get realistic, but you're not in the moment.
Okay.
You know,
we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this.
You ever been out at a bar?
About to lose $100 the Welsh. Knock it off.
You ever bring something home and you're all hyped up about it, then 3 a.m, then you're like, oh, that's like you with your teams. Like during the season, you're like, hey, we're partying. The lights are low. Come back to my place. And then when the season ends, you know, you're starting to wake up, and then like a month after the season, you wake up and you see what's next to you and you say, get out.
I'm always realistic about what's next to me too. So that's why I don't brag about it.
Yeah. So. All right. So no, you said something interesting which I really liked in that, you know, there is the movement where people have to come on, whether it's Twitter or shows or whatever it is, and they have to say no to this, stance down, hashtag no rookie wide receivers, no quarterbacks early, you know, quarterbacks last round, whatever the dumb hashtag is, whatever the stupid movement is. Remember, it used to be, you know, no running backs and no running back strategy. What I hate about that is it becomes buzzy and it loses its power. It loses the, or not even the power, it loses the meaning behind it, because what it ends up doing is it ends up being this thing where then you look foolish. You look foolish when you do it. You look dumb when you do it, you push yourself out of being able to draft those things because you're like, you can't ever do this. There is, to me, there's no such thing in any format of fantasy that something can never be had. There's right. no such thing as that. So you can obviously talk like, hey, I just don't like taking quarterbacks in the first round. I'd rather not. But there's absolutely no absolute truth to you can't draft rookies. You can't draft quarterbacks. It's a value conversation and it gets lost.
Well, why
lost
paint
in
yourself
it?
Into any type of box, right? That never made any sense to me. Sometimes there's going to be guys where I just have no shares of them, right? I just like whatever particular year I don't think where they're going is good enough. They're going way too high. I'm never going to draft them in a spot where I can have them. So I won't have any of them. That's the basic, you know, zero shares thing that I put out every year. But I would never sit there and say, I'll never take this guy. I don't think I'll ever take this guy unless he fell to X, Y, and Z. You know,
but when you say that, you're doing critical thinking towards it. And I think that's fine. It's just people. I mean, and maybe I'm losing sight.
I'm agreeing with you.
I'm committing to. I'm not thinking of words. I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. Glass half full. All I'm saying is it's like people are painting themselves in these corners when they do this type of stuff.
It's and dumb. Don't do that.
It is dumb. All you're doing is you're making statements to your strategy. You're talking about the value. But what I forget, Boggs, is I forget it's a buzzworthy culture. People are clickbaiting. People go out. You know how many people a day I will see and go out and just be nonsensical about their every other day. Hey, here's a guy I like. Who do you like? It's just buzzworthy tweets to get more retweets, conversation. And you know what every single one of those do? They cause arguments and then people freak out. And then there's a big movement about what people are saying on those things.
It's also weird that people can't just disagree anymore, right? No, it has to devolve into some type of weird argument, which doesn't make sense to me either.
Well, because disagreement isn't disagreement. It's disagreement while also insulting. Like you can't disagree. People cannot disagree without insulting. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes it's just having fun. Like, you know, Nate Hamilton and I, we like to make fun of each other. Yeah. So
I think he has the upper hand on you though right now.
How?
He just makes fun of you more.
Do you remember? Well, see, I don't have to make fun of him because I can just point to how good Christian McCaffrey was. So I don't have to say anything. Scoreboard. That's what I said.
I like that one. I actually like that a lot.
But like I liked DJ Moore last year and he was a rookie wide receiver and you were never taking him to be your wide receiver two. He was your wide receiver three at best, probably a bench guy. And I'm just looking in a PPR league. He had, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games over 10 points. So that's a pretty strong rookie season. And And if you go, I can never draft a rookie wide receiver. And for most places, DJ Moore is probably a pickup in a lot of spots. But it's just you paint yourself into a box and it makes no sense to ever do that. So I will say, look, this year, I don't think I'm going to have any shares of X, Y, or Z. And I usually get a little overzealous and I say I'll have zero shares. Because I just know I'm not going to draft
fun.
That guy.
That's still fun to say, but it's not like...
It's not arguing with someone.
You're just saying, I'm not going to own that player. That's all that you're saying when you do it. You're like, I'm not going to have that guy. You're not saying, you don't ever draft any of this category. You don't ever do it.
I never put that on someone. No, that's not...
Mm. Yeah, I just think it's an interesting thing that you brought up with it. And it's fun because it's relevant because there is this like rookie thing with wide receivers and Mecole Hardman is kind of at the heart of it. And it started with running backs. It used to be
backs
that are out there.
I got Eric Bieniemy and Kajana Carter's cards.
That's the guy, Kajana Carter. That's the one, Bogman. That's the one that I was missing in my Rashawn Salaam, Lawrence Phillips, all of that nonsense mix. It was Kajana Carter.
Yep.
Were they? How far apart were they?
I don't know. Let me see. Eric Bieniemy, everyone remembers stupid... a boomer, Eric sleeping with Bieniemy. So he was 91 was his rookie year.
Yeah, Kajana's like 95.
Kajana, I thought he was before.
No. I'm almost 100% positive he was
96.
Like, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I was right in there.
96.
And Kajana Carter was a little bit more of the Bianca Patuca, Rashawn Salaam, Lawrence Phillips, like that range. Or
Eric what year was Sleeping with the Enemy? That was early Sleeping 90s. With the Enemy? 92, right? The movie, it was a movie, Sleeping with the Enemy. 91, it was also 91. Julia Roberts. Press one now.
Press one now. How
Sleeping
let me ask you
with the Enemy, press one now.
How much money would you pay to ensure that the Oakland Raiders got Hard Knocks? The answer is all the money.
I mean, I really want to see them in Hard Knocks, but I think some of these other teams could be interesting. Ooh. I mean, there's just no, I think the Redskins could be interesting.
Oh,
but I just think that what's his name, their owner, God, Daniel I want to call Snyder? Him. Yeah, Dan Snyder would make it worth
Why
it.
Why would the no.
You don't want to see the people protesting like every day?
Okay. There's one storyline that's interesting there, and it's the ownership with the Raiders.
Well, it's Haskins.
Everything with the Raiders.
Peterson and Darius Geis.
Okay, Raiders, you have Vegas, you have Mark Davis, you have John Gruden.
They're better.
You have Mike Mayock, you have Marshawn Lynch that's sitting out there. You have David Carr and his brother that apparently speaks for him with everything. You have Antonio Brown. And oh, they just decided, hey, Richie Incognito, that's a good idea.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be, and Mayock was defending it, too. Not all guys can be Boy Scouts, which I thought was really effing weird, dude.
Man, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, when they're not Boy Scouts, they're bullies.
He went out of his way to draft leadership players. You know, he took guys that probably should have gone down the board a little bit, or at least, you know, their consensus ranking from the outside was they should be dropped a touch. And he went out of his way to take those guys because he thought they'd be good leaders. And then he brings in a guy who has, you know, people cry and quit the league. So
it's nonsense.
Yeah. Where do you want to be? You're not really drawing the line down the middle. You're all over the damn place here. So, yeah, that was nuts. And of course, they're going to be the greatest story this year. It's not even close. It's the Raiders in a win. I just think that there's they should be doing more Hard Knocks anyway. There should be like 3 or 4 teams.
You know, the Niners were on the like list that they can't say no, but then somehow they were disqualified already that it's not going to happen. Pisses me off.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's like a
top. I thought they were still available.
There's like a top 5 list of the 5 teams that can't say no. The 49ers are on it, but there was a report a couple weeks ago that it was like it's not happening with the 49ers. I think the Niners would be a killer story. It's clearly the Raiders. Yeah, all right. Well, don't go anywhere. We're coming back. More in this league. We'll be back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
Oh, I remember that.
Welcome back, guys. This is In This League. It is Bogman and the Welsh. You can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Come have fun with us over on Patreon. You can support us and you get stuff back. Patreon.com/ITLArmy. We've even got some swag over at InThisLeague.com. Teespring store with some hoodies, some shirts of different types of apparel and different versions of our show. Prospect One, I think, has the newest stuff. But there is also the Boggs Jr. stuff, Boggs.
Yeah.
You've been having a lot of Carl's Jr. and you even had some adventures with some meth heads.
That's right. The local meth heads are trying to steal stuff from Home Depot the other night when I stopped by. So when I was there, the cops were arresting the meth heads in the parking lot. There were like 6 of them. So I tried to look up the story like on the local police blotter, and I didn't see it yet. So I don't know if they got arrested, but there were 5 cop cars in the parking lot of Carl's Jr. I thought the Carl's Jr. had shut down. I thought maybe he got robbed or something. And so I pulled through the drive-thru after I asked one of the guys. I'm like, are you guys open? Because he was out there like filming the meth heads getting arrested. And so I went in, or I went through the drive-thru, and I was like, what happened? And he told me the whole thing. They probably stole something from either Savers or Home Depot. He's like, they always pull them over here in our parking lot. He was like, I don't know why they do it, but it's every single time they get pulled over in our parking lot. Hmm. So then I felt less bad about breaking up his filming, because he'll just film some other meth heads getting pinched next week.
Yeah, it's just like a normal thing for him.
Right. But then when I was making my video, I was like, hey, look at this. Excitement at the Carl's Jr.
Hey,
look at that.
I like that. Well, that's super fun. When's the last time, Boggs, you had a special massage?
Never. I've never had a massage.
Never? Have you really never had a massage ever?
Nope.
Has it? Really? I mean, I know we kind of did. It's not a bit, but like,
I've had like dumb girlfriend massages, but never like had a massage from a masseuse.
Okay. I mean, I haven't either.
Okay.
But have you ever had like your back rubbed for more than 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Like in a massage, not like a, oh, hey, huh, but like an actual, like, let's get these knots out.
Not really.
No,
it's either been sexual or nothing for me. So.
Oh, gross.
Well, you asked.
There's just something about when you said that. I was like,
Yeah. For whatever reason, whenever I say a word that you don't like, you really don't like the word.
Yeah, but I also don't talk about
sexual massages. I have some weird emphasis on something. I don't know what it is. And then you hate it.
Well, it's just like, I don't need to. You being sexualized is the last thing I need in the world.
Well, yeah, it's gross. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, me too, but I don't sexualize myself at all. I'm married. I don't even know what that is.
Neither does anyone else. No,
like, I literally don't even like know anymore. I'm just like, I'm a blanket in the wind at this point.
Just that's
waiting,
the saying.
Just waiting to let
blanket
go.
Blanket in the wind. Shit. Was that on Bette Midler's greatest hits? Blanket in the wind.
Blanket in the wind.
You're the blanket beneath my wings. So
like the Carlos. I just want to talk about this for a minute. The Carlos Correa story is hilariously a cover up, and
It has to be. I mean,
there's just no way. Like I did defend that there are like hardcore massage people. Like my wife loves massages, and she and this is, you know, I'm trying to be careful about it. She's like a sadist with it. You know, it's like, I'm like,
get in there,
like hurt you. Yeah, get in there. Like, I don't want to hurt you. I am a child. You press with any pressure whatsoever, and I'm like, Then after about 15 minutes, like I can handle a little bit more because I don't want anybody touching my back. So we talked about all this stuff. So Carlos Correa, fractured rib from an, quote, in-home massage. We already did the whole bit about talking about how ridiculous
it is. If I just thought about getting one in my house, that'd have been much better for me.
Kraft, couldn't you have like had some, you could have afforded the whole place to come to your house, right?
What do you mean? They don't come. You have to fly to Florida.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that. They don't. I do. I thought you were doing something completely different. I
might have just won $100 there. I don't know.
I didn't say any of the words. I just said no words.
I don't know.
So that's all done. You know, we all know the story. He's out 4 to 6 weeks or whatever it is because he has a broken rib from an in-house massage. Now, the story didn't end. What I can only describe, I want to be careful about how to describe this because I don't want to be insensitive, but
if you didn't want to be insensitive, we wouldn't be talking about this.
That's a good point. In what I would describe as similar to like he's like a prisoner. He's a prisoner of, I don't want to say war, but you know where I'm going with this. The type of video that somebody would be pressured to do. Carlos Correa's girlfriend, who, by the way, looks exactly like Ariana Grande. Has a YouTube channel, apparently. Apparently, all the wives of baseball players have YouTube channels. We found out Hunter Pence's Zach Gallimimus or whatever her name is. She has a YouTube channel. And Carlos Correa's wife has a YouTube channel. So
Gallimimus.
Whatever her name is. Apparently, for whatever, I can't imagine why, Bachman. Can you imagine why there would be this need for his, and by I'm saying wife, might be his girlfriend, for his wife or girlfriend, whatever, Fiance. Can you imagine what the need would be for her to have to maybe make a public statement with him uncomfortably sitting in a chair next to him and staring at him the whole time? Like, why do you think they would need to do make a public
because
statement?
Because it's a-holes from Twitter and Reddit and all those places saying that this has to be a domestic violence thing. And she must have punched him in the rib or something like.
Oh, I wasn't actually going with that. Oh, I forgot about that. That you were saying that the people are talking domestic violence. I'm assuming she puts him in front of a camera.
You're thinking she's doing it for hits.
Not even just hits, because everybody assumes he had hired a masseuse from Backpage. And she came down. Okay. And so what she's doing is she's like, hey, guys. Here's my boyfriend. He's going to tell you what happened because he totally wasn't getting an old fashioned from an $80 masseuse.
No, he put out a video and he talked about how he gets it the day after the game every day.
But he does get it. So we're going to play this video real quick. And again, I'm going to describe this. His girlfriend.
Is he doing Morse code with his blinking?
We should watch for his eyes to blink. Blink twice, Carlos, if you're in trouble. He's kind of in the corner. She is sitting right next to him, staring at him. Every word that he says as he describes what, quote, really happened with his massage. So here's Carlos Correa talking about it on her YouTube channel.
I was getting a massage and, I was getting a massage on this area, on the ribs. And
he looks uncomfortable.
I heard a crack when my masseuse pressed on my... on this area over here on my ribs.
What area?
I looked at it, like, what was that? Immediately after, my side started hurting when I was breathing.
The face she has is the just, face.
Is it, I'm going to do it again?
It's if you've ever had a girlfriend or wife, it's a face of like, I better get this right. Because she is a very serious face, and he's like, yeah, right here. He's not really looking at the camera. All right, so we can continue. Actually, it's picking up here.
I figure something's not right, so I obviously called the Astros and let him know, and that's why I didn't play on Tuesday, because I was getting the MRIs, the CT scan, to see, what was going on. Unfortunately, the MRI revealed that I had a fracture on one of my ribs, and that's obviously not what we wanted to hear, but we had, it happened. But we're here telling the story because
a lot of you
guys have been concerned. And I want to thank everybody for your support.
Yep,
really means a lot. Coming from the organization.
Okay, I don't know if you've heard this. We're going to play a little bit more. I'm dying to get the raw video. And by the way, I have met Carlos Correa. He's a really nice guy. So I feel bad about this, but.
And by the way, do you remember he proposed to his fiance right after they won the World Series?
There are 4 clear edits in the last 1 minute. We've been playing this video for 1 minute. There are at least 4 clear edits where he's talking and then you see the video skip and it moves
because
their
Correa
heads.
Is not, he's not on camera talent. So,
and that could be it, but I'm just pointing out there's a very serious face. She's staring at him. And there had been some clear edits, so just a little bit more. I'm not insinuating totally. I'm not insinuating anything whatsoever. Go ahead.
Everybody's been sending me text messages, and their support is great. My family, my friends, and obviously you guys, the fans. So thank you guys for your support.
You're welcome.
So obviously earlier during the day when that situation happened, I was downstairs, and I heard... the noise that I heard the masseuse gasp because it was obviously something, a freak accident, something that we still don't know why, but it had to happen that way. Later on in life, hopefully we understand why it had to happen this way, and at this specific point in our lives. I also want to point out that a lot of people have taken this situation and just found a way to turn this all around on social media.
Totally.
And of course, social media has positive things, but it also has very negative things.
What better way to make everybody think differently than saying what you just said for the last 30 seconds on a YouTube video?
I've gone on social media and some people have taken the opportunity to blame me for the situation that occurred. And some people have gone to the extent of saying, saying it was domestic violence, and we're just here to let you guys know.
Oh, well, they did talk about
it. Not a joke. Domestic violence is not something to joke around about. It's something very serious. People are actually going through that in life, and it's just not okay to say things like that. But of course, to all the fans that are being amazing and sending a positive comments, thank you guys so much from the bottom of our hearts. It really means a lot to know that we have so many amazing people loving and praying and caring for us, even though we're going through this horrible situation. But at the end of the day, it's important to look at life in a positive view.
I feel like God has a plan for everything.
Okay, we're going to check out right there. That's what we're going to do. Bogman and the Welsh, ouch. We're going to check out right around there. I never once considered a domestic violence thing.
No, that's what I was saying. People were saying, like, he must have cheated on her or something, and then she punched him. And, like, at the end of this video.
Okay, I guess I see that, yeah.
At the end of this video, he shows his rib. Like, he pulls up his shirt to show his rib because there's no bruising or anything. Like,
so what is he trying to show us? He's like, see? See?
He didn't fall. He didn't get hit. Because there'd be bruising on the outside skin.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, if he had been punched or hit with that teddy bear that was in the background of the video.
Right. He just, she was pushing down and it fractured his rib, to be honest.
And then up and then down.
I feel like I kind of buy it now after this weird video that they made. I feel like
weird, though, right?
It's weird. It is weird. Well, I think it's...
It's not weird.
I think it's a couple things. Number one... I don't know if you should be responding to people saying that stupid crap, right?
People are ridiculous. I mean, I'm assuming
almost like apologizing, to be honest. Like, you know, you can't really be blamed until you apologize for something. Like, if something is really, really wrong, when you apologize, you acknowledge that it's wrong, something like that. But it's also the same thing when you have rumors and people want to say, well, where there's smoke, there's fire, which is the dumbest statement I've ever heard in my life, by the way.
Yeah.
I could call someone something horrid out of nowhere and then someone else would be like, well, there's smoke there. You know, must be fire. It's just a dumb thing to say.
Sure.
But I think you breathe life into these things when you address them like this. Maybe sometimes you shut them down too, but I don't know, because like you taking all the joking aside, it's a weird video.
It's a super weird.
It has a weird tone and it almost has a desperate tone to me a little bit.
It's everything we're talking about. I'm telling you, like it's her YouTube channel. She's talking.
It's like the Dave Chappelle thing. Please believe me.
I didn't. Yeah. He's sitting there super uncomfortable. And guess what? Like, to your point, we're, making light of it. If you take the seriousness of it, like, I could see where he's uncomfortable about it. And also, he's probably super bummed about it. Like, I'm not inhuman here. But take away that. I get why they felt compelled if people are really being like, this is domestic violence. She beat him up. Okay, I see where they're going with that. I never once even that crossed my mind. What crossed my mind is that he got injured with an in-home massage. I'm a child, so I have a child's mentality. And immediately I think of Robert Kraft and I think of all the things that are rumored with massage parlors. And then she goes on to be like, yeah, I heard this sound, this gasp downstairs as I was upstairs with the massage.
Of course, I had to make the noise there. I mean, come on. What, am I supposed to not make that noise? Come on.
So, I mean, like, we can have fun with that portion of it. But, like, yeah, maybe just don't respond. Like, maybe don't respond at everything. Like, it came off weird. But I also don't blame them for doing it. Carlos Correa is genuinely one of the nice guys. Now I feel bad that I'm making fun at his expense. But, also I don't. But he is genuinely one of the good guys. And they felt compelled because this is one of the dumbest, stupidest injuries. And we're talking about baseball. That is nothing but dumb and stupid injuries. Nobody gets hurt on the goddamn field anymore, Bogman. Nobody falls and separates their shoulder. They drop tile on their foot. They fall through a roof or they get a crack rib from a massage
therapist.
We're going
to get at least one more weird one, right?
Of course we are.
I mean,
of course.
It is June 1st.
Someone's going to get their foot run over by a motorbike that their 14-year-old kid was driving, and then they fell through a glass table. That is what's going to happen.
I hope it happens, man. Like, I don't hope it happens to anyone in particular, but there's going to be another weird story.
There's gonna just, gonna going to be someone that's going to be like, I got hurt falling off my sex swing that's in my bedroom as my wife, you know, was putting in the ball gag. Like, that's the next step.
I think if something like that happens, you just have to make up something like I got it hurt during an in-home massage or something.
Yeah. Well, if Pat Burrell or Brian Wilson were still in the league, they would admit to that.
Oh, Pat the Bat. I was trying to, I can't remember who I was telling the story about him wearing the GIMP mask.
Yeah. And he tried to he tried to take one of your friends home.
Yep, he did. And his line was, I'm Pat Burrell.
I'm Pat Burrell.
It wasn't like, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous.
I have lots of money.
Yeah.
I'm Pat Burrell.
I don't
know
if you know this. I'm a Pat Burrell. I play baseball.
Again, if we were a show that everyone was honored just to come on and we were popular, we could have an I'm Pat Burrell shirt because that's genius. I want to use that line. You know what? I got another idea for a bit, Bogman. Let's go to bars and try to pick up women just using I'm Pat Burrell. Could you think we could do it?
Yeah, we need to go on Reddit and just say, this is Pat Burrell, and put a picture of yourself up there.
Yeah.
And have so many people upvoted that it's number one on Google.
We can make this happen. I mean, we got at least like 12 listeners, so we get them to all upvote it. And then we go out to the bar and we show people that post. And they believe we're Pat Burrell. And we see where it goes. So
let's go.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We're coming back. More Bogman and the Welsh in this league and all the craziness.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
Welcome back. More in this league. Final segment of the second hour. I don't really know how pretty. How do you think people process this show? Because it's broken up in at least the podcast version. People process it if they listen to it live, however many that is. You know, you just listen as you go. But podcasts, it's three different files that are uploaded. So, I mean, it's like 3 hours of content. Do you listen to a show? I know Rogan can be up to 3 hours, but it's not in three different files. Like, do people view these as different episodes each time, you think?
There is not a single episode of Rogan that I've listened to straight through. Ever.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I do that. I listened the Wiz Khalifa one that was up. I was listening to that one, and it actually might be the worst episode of Joe Rogan I've ever listened to because he's super high and Wiz Khalifa's super high, and there are so many awkward pauses that are put in it, and Joe just decided he wasn't going to lead the interview whatsoever. And they have these moments. I swear to God.
Does Jamie step in at any point? No.
Hey, dude, I'm telling you. They start off with being like, you know, hey, Wiz has got a bunch of weed. And they talk about weed. And the entire episode, I don't think I finished it. I think I got like 20 minutes left. All they talked about was MMA because Wiz Khalifa, you know, has done some MMA. Every time it's ready to go in a different area, when it's done, Wiz stops talking. And then Joe just lets there be silence. And then he comes back and he's like, oh, man, I just can't believe you're doing MMA. Like, when did you start? It's the worst interview I've ever heard him do. It is so uninteresting.
They probably got so high before, you know, before the whole thing started. Dude, and that's kind of how they came in.
I've been listening to, I mean, that Jamie Metzl one I told you about is incredible. I've been listening to lots of bits of that Annie Jacobson one and her porn voice that she does.
Oh my God, it's such a porn voice.
And I love Rogan. I don't know what was going on. The Wiz Khalifa one, it is the worst one he's ever done. He doesn't point the conversation in any meaningful way. They keep going back to MMA. It's horrendous. But I listened to, you know, 80% of it in one shot. I just am always interested in people's listening habits. I've talked about it on the baseball podcast where it's like, how do people process all the content that we do? We are like Marvel. There is literally a cinematic universe of In This League, and it is spread out into so many different areas that, you know, not that you need to listen to everything to follow along, but I think we do a pretty damn decent job about putting unique content on every single one of them. That this show specifically, how do people keep up? Last week we did 6 hours of it. There's 3 hours this week. And how do people listen to it? Is it encapsulated into single hours or is it just one long stream?
I think a lot of people just, when it comes up, they download it, they listen to it. I mean, I know that's how I consume the majority of my podcast. Now, I have a couple that are like, as soon as they go up, those are the ones I listen to. But everything else for me is I'll listen to it when I get around to it. So that's kind of how it goes. So I have like my, we'll call it five main ones that I listen to.
The ones that you're P1s of.
Yeah. The one when they post the show, it's downloaded either, you know, right when I wake up or right when they post it, and then I start listening to it almost immediately.
You know what I do like? We have had, I'm not gonna lie, I do really, really love and appreciate, and it gives me a little bit of a high, the amount of people on a weekly basis that will like reach out and like, especially new listeners, they'll be like, oh man, I freaking love the show. And for whatever reason, the last 2 weeks, we've had an influx of it where people have been like, man, you guys are so funny, and that's great, and I love hearing that. But what people will say now, I'm hearing, is as soon as the show comes out, it's an immediate first listen. And for some reason, that is like the most meaningful thing anybody says to me. When they say, you are like the first listen, I'm like, wow, because I have like one or two podcasts that are like that for me, where I'm like, oh, great, I know when the show's out, I'm listening to it as soon as I possibly can. So to think that we are that for somebody is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's cool to think of.
But it's probably only like five people.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that listen to everything we do, surprisingly, because you put that out the other day. Yeah. And a lot of people in the GroupMe rooms were talking about it. And the other day, I mean, like three of these shows ago.
Yeah.
You know,
just 3 weeks ago.
Which is 3 weeks ago, right? So there's just a lot of people that listen to everything we do, which is surprising. Or it's like they don't listen to one thing. You know what I mean? It's like I listen to all of this, but I don't listen to the Black Book. I listen to all of this, but I don't listen to Takeaways, whatever it is. You know, they listen to a lot of our stuff, and we just have, like you said, so much.
They're like,
so,
I can't listen to the Black Book. Joe's on it. And I'm like,
yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, a lot of that. So.
Joe's too good to us. I love Joe. Wish he was on the show with us to talk about the Black Book, but he's not. He's not.
That's your job. What's, you don't blame me for that. I feel like you're blaming me right now.
No. Who's on the baseball show this weekend?
Don't know. Oh. That's my job.
Oh. No one?
Why don't you just do your job and I'll do my job?
Okay.
How about that?
How about the next edition of baseball announcers saying the dumbest things? Remember that show, Fifth Graders Say the Silliest Things or whatever? What was the Cosby Show? He's like, oh, I'm not going to poison
say
you.
The darndest,
yeah,
thing.
Kids say the poison.
Oh, my God.
Well, he didn't do that to kids. He just did that to adult women.
No, that's not your cub.
Yeah. Don't do that. Give that to your mom. That was Bill Cosby. But, baseball announcers say the darndest things. Because Pirates announcer, it actually was my doppelganger, Chris Welch, was the one that did the last one. And it was accusatory towards me that it's not me. But he did the ridiculous thing about Ozzie Albies not understanding money or numbers, which was a fun one. And the Pirates announcer jumped in, Bogman. What was the latest one?
It was, he was talking about Derek Dietrich, who we talk about. You know, he's been hitting a bunch of home runs. He's got 17 homers this year, and he hit 3 in one game the other night. And the I'm trying to find it. John Wehner, W-E-H-N-E-R, who's on 93.7 The Fan, the Pirates broadcaster. He said, here are his quotes. I can't stand him. I just don't see why. I don't understand why you have to do that. It's different if you're a Hall of Fame player, you're a 60-homer guy, you're an established guy.
Sorry, when you said that, you're like, y'all don't say that. Y'all don't say that. That's all I hear him saying when you said that right there.
Nobody ever heard of him before this year. I heard of him because of his grandfather, Steve Demeter, who used to be a minor league coach for the Pirates. He was the nicest, sweetest guy in the world. He's rolling in his grave every time this guy hits a home run. He's embarrassed of his grandson. And that Demeter died in 2013.
There's a lot of things. There's a big resurgence online. And I would say I have versions of being a hypocrite where I can appreciate where people say, hey, you know, say nice things, be nice. I agree with that. We come on here, it's radio shtick, we have fun with it, you know, when we're like, oh, loser, and we just have fun with it, you know, it's just like we're being dumb, and that's that thing. To say something like that, that's that line where there's so many entitled people think they get to say all the things, but there's a line that doesn't get to get crossed, and it's usually about family. You don't get to say things about someone's family or the type of parent they are or anything like that without a straight out fight. For this dude to say something that his grandfather would be rolling over in the grave, I'm not sure there's more of an offensive thing that any of these old school baseball people can do. Listen, you don't like it. You don't like the bat flip. You're like, it's Bush League, blah, 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 blah. Do all the stuff. Be old, you know, be the old crotchety school stuff, be crotchety, be all of that you want. You don't say something like that. Has Dietrich commented on that?
Y'all don't say that. I haven't seen him, but I did see a nice, funny comment that said, well, if his grandfather is rolling in the grave, that's like showing up death. So, like he shows up pitchers. Like Dietrich shows up pitchers, he's showing up death. Rolling in his grave. No. It's like the... It's the dead equivalent of pimping a home run is basically what he's saying. So apparently you don't like
it. No, I don't like it. It's beyond me. I'm too dumb for it, apparently. You're way too smart.
Yeah, that's true. Well, compared to you. But this is so stupid. Like, do you really have to get that offended by the guy pimping his home runs? And by the way, drill him. But what I hate even worse than this stuff is the people that complain about Dietrich pimping his home runs, right? Mm-hmm. But then when a pitcher throws behind him or throws one high and tight, something like that, they go, that's assault. You're taking a guy's life into whatever, blah, blah, blah. Give me a break. This is how it's worked for, you know, 100 years. It's not that big a deal. Like, if a guy throws inside on you and you don't think that he should have done that, you go out and you have a fight. And then it's over with.
I'm telling you, I stand firm. Baseball should 100% just implement the penalty box. They should be okay with players fisticuffs just like hockey does.
It's like three innings.
And then when they do, take them out for 2 innings or 3 innings or something like that. They go in the penalty box. It would be so much better. Just let these guys tackle it like that. I hate the unwritten rules. I hate it. I hate this throwing at guys' heads. You know, we saw it with Goldie getting hurt, you know, and this type of idea, you are putting players, you know, not necessarily careers, you know, even though Tony Gwynn, you know, but you're putting guys' seasons or periods of time and paychecks and all that stuff on the line. If they have a problem with it, let them duke it out and then throw them in a penalty box.
Yeah. Let him fight, you know.
And let Dietrich fight John Warren or whatever his name is, Warner.
they square up, you know, it's kind of like a hockey fight. First guy to go down, the umpire steps in, all right, that's enough.
Yeah.
And then that's that, you know, that's it. Yeah. It's over with. Let's not have this, you know, the bullpen. The dumbest thing to me in baseball is when the bullpen's empty out.
Oh, God.
Like,
it's so funny.
You're way over there. Like, there's no way I'd want to run that far to what? Then fight? No,
you know
thanks.
What I envision all bullpen guys that are running out? I all hear them as who's the red beard guy in Game of Thrones?
Tormund.
Tormund. They're all Tormund. They're like, we're coming, Jon Snow. Like, they're all, like, they all just think they're so they're important. Like,
is the big woman still here?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I see all these guys. It's so nonsense.
I see them like, I see them like, do we really need to go out there? Is this going to get this serious? Come on.
Wouldn't you rather just see Derek Dietrich and John Lester just battle it out for 30 seconds?
Just go duke it out. Yeah.
And then throw them in a bullpen jail.
Well, I tell you what, though, one of the greatest moments in baseball history is when Gabby Sanchez clotheslined Nigel Morgan. That was great. And that was the old rules, and that wouldn't have happened. But I think if Nigel Morgan had to attack 6'7" Chris Volstad, maybe he wouldn't have done it if he knew his teammates weren't.
But don't you think that might change things up a little bit if they accepted like a fight penalty box type of thing? I think you would have an 80% reduction in players throwing at each other.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
They'd never do it because it makes too much sense.
Guy gets in the batter's box after he threw his bat, pimped his homer. The pitcher gets on the mound, throws his glove down, and they just go at it instead of players throwing it at the other's head.
Yeah. I mean, it'll never happen because it makes too much sense. Yeah. It's never going to happen because it's something that would curb a lot of this stuff, and I don't necessarily know that they want.
Are you annoyed with this stuff, though, with the announcers? Like, there's a little bit of annoyance. I try to give there's a benefit of the doubt of just the human element, but, like, between the ump shows that we get and umps making it about themselves to announcers just coming in and just stepping over the line of giving us a story of a game and saying just nonsense, just these idiots that have – these people have no direction.
Well, make it an opinion. Just say, look, I knew Dietrich's grandfather. He wasn't that kind of player, and I don't think that he would appreciate his grandson doing this. Make it an opinion instead of he's rolling in his grave.
Should I DM Chris Welsh, announcer for the Reds? He does follow me because we share the same name. Should I ask him what the problem is?
Yeah, I mean, he follows me too. So,
oh, does he follow you? That's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, you're not special. Hit him up. Ask him about it. This stuff has got to go. Like, and it's just dumb.
Robot announcers. That's what we need, Bogman. We just need robot announcers.
Well, what annoys you more? Like the announcer saying this? Because a lot of people, a lot of people were upset that Bob Brenly and Steve Berthume called Manny Machado Bush League when he threw the bat down at John Ryan Murphy's feet, and they called him worse than that, but I don't want to get into that here. But, they were upset about the things that he said about Manny Machado, right?
Yeah.
They said, give me a break, Bob Brenly, blah, blah, blah. I thought Brenly was fine in saying that, though. But I'm not biased. I'm a Diamondbacks fan, and I didn't like what Manny Machado did. So maybe there's a little bit of a hypocriticalness going on from me here. I just think that was people are allowed to have their opinions, but I think it was a dumb thing to say as a broadcaster.
Yeah, I don't know. It's almost becoming like your grandpa, you know? You ever been around your grandpa and then, like, you know, you're having
he's
a fun time.
He's from a different time.
Yeah, you're having a fun time, and then all of a sudden they toss out something. You're like, whoa, grandpa, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, grandpa? We don't talk like this anymore.
My kids.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same thing. It's like, hey, grandpa, chill out. There's something along the lines of that exact same thing that goes on with these announcers, because it's just all old school baseball players. They get a little too comfortable, and then, you know, Welsh goes out there and starts talking about how Manny Machado, but Ozzie Albies doesn't understand money or numbers, which is fantastic. And then you get this where I don't know. The worst debate in baseball actually might exist around this idea of pimping home runs. It might be the worst thing about baseball. These guys are eating themselves up. It's ridiculous.
You're an all-star if you fail 7 out of 10 times at the plate. You're only hitting 30%, and you're usually an all-star if you're hitting right around 300.
But dude, don't you remember football when it was like, I remember it was like 20 years ago, whatever, where everyone was like, listen, you know, it's Bush League with football. Be more like Barry Sanders. He hands the ball to the ref. That's how you do it.
Barry Sanders was always always the example of that. But who cares? And Bill Belichick says that stuff. He's like, look, man, you work hard, you get in the end zone, you want to have a little celebration, that's fine. Just don't do it to where it's going to hurt the team and get us a 15-yard penalty. That's all he cares about. Celebrate all you want. I don't care.
Well,
just don't
okay, but the celebrations at all have a penalty attached to it is ridiculous. I'm just... There's nothing more we can do about it. We've had these conversations about the things that baseball does. It's its own worst enemy, and it just... It comes back to this right here. What is baseball getting attention for? They're getting attention for an announcer saying a super offensive thing to another baseball player because the guy is cocky about how he hits home runs.
The only unwritten rules I like are the unwritten rules of the rogue.
Unwritten rules of the rogue. Yeah, you got it. I can't do the Carlin bit. I'll lose money. So. All right, we'll be back. We got a whole another hour coming up, so strap yourselves in, folks, because in this league, we're getting crazy out here. We'll be back.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.